This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nikki Javala will join us at noon. If you miss Joe B on with us early in the show, we'll play some of that back for you. Next hour, talking about the Caps win last night over Montreal. So, yesterday I talked about the running backs. You know, I had a friend of mine say, man, you got a lot of players that you listed. Well, it's different this year. It's different in sort of talking draft because at 29, there are just so many possibilities. We haven't had that in recent years. Clearly not last year. We didn't have that last year. We didn't have that Chase Young's year. You know, it's been more about, I mean, you know, we've had that in terms of, you know, the Mississippi State corner that we took a few years ago, whose name escapes me, who we moved on from. Why am I forgetting Mississippi State cornerback?
How could
first
you forget Emmanuel Forbes, Kevin?
How did I forget Emmanuel Forbes' name? Getting old. Yeah, there have been some of those, but at 29, man, there are just so many possibilities. And look, Washington's in one of those situations in which they are in position to be a very good team in 2025, but they also simultaneously have needs, you know, and have several needs. The reason they're going to be a contender again is because they got it right at quarterback last year, but they still have a ton of needs. So, let me start with this. Like, Abdul Carter from Penn State is clearly the number one, you know, defensive end, edge, pass rusher, you know, player. You know, is he a generational player, you know, or talent? I don't even know what that really would be defined as. I guess a generation is, what, 20 years? He's not that. You know, I think he's a bit undersized and kind of unpolished when you watch him, but quick twitch, super explosive, high motor. The game he played against Notre Dame, and Eric Edholm and I were talking about this when he was on in the semifinals, when he was clearly injured, he had a shoulder injury, that was a warrior out there in that game. You love to see that. Is he Myles Garrett when he came out in 2017? No. First of all, Garrett was bigger, and Garrett's athleticism was just better. By the way, I went back and looked at 2017's RAS scores, the relative athletic scores from that draft. The only 10 out of 10 in that draft was Marshon Lattimore. And then Garrett was number two at 9.99, so he was nearly perfect in terms of the athletic score. And number three was Fabian Moreau. Remember him? I'll tell you what, I remember watching Fabian Moreau in Richmond after they drafted him, and I'm like, compared to their other corners, I'm like, at least this guy's long and can run, because he was an athlete. Where's Fabian Moreau playing right now? He's somewhere. Is he with the Rams? Might be with the Rams. Anyway, I don't think Abdul Carter is Myles Garrett. He might be Nick Bosa. He's probably every bit of what Joey Bosa is. Not same kind of players. I don't think he's what Chase Young was coming out. Chase Young was a borderline generational prospect coming out. Trayvon Walker, you know, who Jacksonville took number one overall. He's a little bit different because he's bigger. That's a tough comparison. But Carter's really good. So explosive, quick twitch, first step. I mean, relentless, high motor player, Micah Parsons. Like, he led the nation in tackles for loss. He was number two in pressures, number seven in sacks. His health has been a bit of a question, not just the shoulder, but there were some other things leading into it, which, you know, didn't have him test for things like relative athletic score. But he's the number one edge in this draft, and he's clearly a player worthy of taking in the top two or three in this draft. I think Travis Hunter is the best all-around player in the draft. I think Carter is in the conversation for the number two player in the draft. Washington doesn't have a chance for him, obviously, so I don't want to waste any more time with him. But in looking at the position, it's kind of like what I talked about with the running back position. You know, I said there's Jenty, and then there are like 10 or 11 guys that basically they're all good. They all have strengths. They all have, you know, weaknesses. None of them look like Saquon Barkley. Doesn't mean that they won't become that, but as a prospect, they're not that. And edge defensive end is similar, although I think there is a number two. And I think they're, instead of Jenty and everybody else, I think it's Carter, and I think it's Mike Green from Marshall, and then everybody else. You know, Green's productivity, good God, at Marshall was he productive. He led the nation in sacks. He became an excellent run defender last year. You know, his frame is really the issue. He's like 245, 250. There was some red flag stuff on him in high school and at UVA before he transferred to Marshall. Sexual harassment allegations, allegations. Not charged in either case. Teams are going to have to figure him out, because to me, if he starts to drop past like the top half of the draft, you know, teams found out stuff about him that scared them. Because I think it's obvious that he's the second best talent as a pass rusher in the draft. So for me, after Carter and Green, then it's like a hodgepodge of everything. You know, so much of it will be about what teams like in the player, like in the person, how their fit is within their scheme defensively. Like a guy like Jalen Walker from Georgia is really more of a hybrid outside linebacker in a 3-4 more than he is a DN, but who knows? Maybe somebody projects him to that and thinks that he will be great. I mean, there's no doubt about his talent, even though he's only 240 pounds. But Washington's not going to have a shot at him either. Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M is super off the charts athletic, but he never had more than 1.5 sacks in a season. Like, now, he had a ton of pressures. I think he's another guy, just because of the athletic talent, he'll be off the board at 29. So if you take Carter, Walker, Stewart, and Green, and you say, you know, to me, it's Carter and Green, and then everybody else, you know, is a matter of preference and due diligence, etc. But if those four are gone, and I think there's a decent chance those four will be gone, then we're talking about guys like Mikel Williams from Georgia, Donovan Azaraku from Boston College, James Pierce Jr. from Tennessee, JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State, Landon Jackson from Arkansas, Nick Scorton from Texas A&M, Femi Oladejo from UCLA. These are the guys that are in the mix for Washington in the first round, but some of these guys might be available in the second round, especially if they trade back. So let me tell you, about those guys. So I'll start with James Pierce Jr. because I mentioned him on Friday. I would bet he's off their board. There is just too much out there, and you never know. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm just telling you what is, and this isn't even subtle in terms of the scouting reports and what all of the draft people are saying, is that there is a real concern about his love for football. I think I read, what was the quote I read about him? That basically one front office person said, we have to be convinced that he loves playing football. That's not a Washington player with this organization, with this front office.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
He's talented. He's a first-round talent for sure and was productive and has, by the way, that, you know, 10-yard drill at the combine number that Adam Peters likes. I just don't think they'll take him unless they did their due diligence and said, yeah, none of this is true. It just got, you know, those things are also always possible. Ezeraku, to me, is just a pass rusher at this point. You know, he is 6'2", 245. I don't think he is a guy that sets the edge in Washington's base defense and is a real run stopper as a young player. But, man, as a situational pass rusher, this is a guy who, in a 4-3 base scheme at BC, led his team in sacks, in TFLs, finished top three in the country in sacks and TFLs. He is bendy. He is quick twitch. He is apparently a high-quality kid. So if they are looking for the 10.5 sacks that Dante Fowler Jr. took with him, and they don't think that they can scheme it up with Luvu or with, you know, any of the other players that they've brought in, and they're looking for a pure pass rusher, Ezeraku's possible at 29. I think his pass rushing ability is so great he's gone by 29. That's my guess. But you could not go wrong with the character and the pass rushing ability of Donovan Ezeraku. The problem is you're not helping your run defense and your edge rush defense by drafting him. Not early in his career, anyway. I like a couple of players that I think are second round grades that could sneak into the first round. Nick Scorton's not my favorite, I'll just tell you that. You know, that's somebody that Ben talked about and Ben's mocked a couple of times, I believe. The guy's had some weight issues. I love his motor. I love his character. All of those things. He's a good player. He's a productive player. But, you know, at one point he was like 285. And then, you know, he shows up at the combine at 257. He doesn't look like the strongest of players. And I just wonder whether or not he would just be one of those DNs that, you know, gets moved easily. He's not my favorite of the players that come after the guys that I've mentioned. I love Landon Jackson from Arkansas. Landon Jackson is 6'6", 265, four-man front at Arkansas, true D-end, athletic, big, strong, can rush the passer, can set the edge. He, along with My guy from Ohio State, JT Tuimoloau, to me, after, you know, a guy like Green and Carter are the true, like, edge run stoppers in this draft. You know, guys that would be available potentially at 29 or even in the second round. So I love Jackson. I love, as I've mentioned, Tuimoloau. And where's the rest of my list here? I like Mikel Williams a lot. I don't know that he's going to be there at 29, but Mikel Williams from Georgia is a guy that played all over the place and is talented and has the size and has the length. I mean, he's got super long arms. They're like 35 inches. He just looks the part of a D-end. I think you can move him all over the place. He's a player I think that they would have a lot of fun with. You know, in the same way they do with Luvu, I think that they would have that with Mikel Williams. I would love Mikel Williams at 29. I would take that in a heartbeat. I think he is solid against the run. I think he, you'll see if you've watched him before, just that long-armed ability to, you know, be disruptive at the line of scrimmage. He also really is one of those guys that if he sniffs out a quarterback, he closes the deal. I would say Azarakou and Mikel Williams at 29, I'd be fine with either one. My preference, though, would be if they traded back and got a Jackson or a Tuimoloau from Ohio State and also added something else. I like Oladejo from UCLA. Just played DN for the first time. He was at Cal and played, you know, middle linebacker at one point. And the guy Kyle Kennard from South Carolina, I don't think he is, you know, even a night two pick. He might be a night two pick. He's impressive. He's another guy that kind of lined up hand in the ground or, you know, two-point stance and was productive at South Carolina. Liked a lot about him, including his arm length and size at 6'4 and 255, 260. All right, there's some of the edge rushers. More on them later in the show or tomorrow. Nikki Jhabvala next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.